You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 2nd of June. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, we've got Viv Govender from Rand Swiss talking oil and China, Hong Kong, capital appreciation, managing to do very well under lockdown. And as the strong May PMI bounce, perhaps a statistical oddity, we'll delve into that. Some morning headlines, Reuters, US companies issue shares at fastest rate ever, selling the rally. Business Day, Standard Bank braces for economic shock exceeding financial crisis. Morning markets, US was green last night, S&P up just over 0.4, NASDAQ 0.7%. Asia mostly green, Sydney 0.1 up, Tokyo 1.2 leading the way. Commodities also green, platinum the exception, slipping a little, while the ZAR against dollar at 17.40, and top 40 opening calls for a slight green opening this morning.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Viv Govender, he of Rand Swiss. Viv, morning, appreciate your time this morning. We saw some Bloomberg data out yesterday suggesting that OPEC had managed to cut their output by almost 6 million barrels per day during the month of May. Certainly, we have seen West Texas up at almost $36. We've seen Brent almost $39. These are both back at sort of early March levels. If we also consider that we're kind of out of that hard lockdown as a planet, we're coming back into sort of lockdown middle, are we likely to see perhaps oil sort of extending these levels, moving higher still as we go through June?
I think the aim of OPEC is to move the oil price higher from here. I think they're talking about extending the price, having a meeting on the 4th of June, which is a couple of days. They moved that meeting up by a week. Apparently, the Saudis want to extend it until the end of the year. The Russians are also possibly looking to extend by a month to maybe 3 months. They don't want to go as far as a year. But at the same time, there's a lot of lack of compliance at OPEC at the moment. Nigerians apparently and the Iraqis are really bad in terms of compliance right now. And I think it's a matter of basically trying to balance the fact that the oil market has been in a bit of chaos and but there's still need revenue coming in. The one thing that might push oil prices significantly higher is the fact that U.S. shale at this level does not survive.
Yeah.
Right now, U.S. shale is well in the red. If this continues for this level for a while longer, we'd effectively have one of the largest producers in the world, shutting down almost. And so oil prices will have to rise from here. But just when that's going to happen, I'm not sure.
For a global economy that is still, you know, as I said, we're kind of like in lockdown light, kind of. We're not at those sort of hard lockdown levels from April. Truthfully, a recovery is better with a lower oil price. But there's some structural issues. You mentioned U.S. shale. There are obviously the oil producing nations who want oil higher. They're probably going to win. We're probably going to get that oil a little bit higher, which is going to sort of make the recovery for the global economy a little tougher.
Oh, yes, sir, most certainly. But it's going to happen, I think, a while from here. Demand at the moment is really, very high. And we are going to see, you know, until air travel comes back online, you know, at least a below normal level of demand. And if you see most parts of the world, I don't see much sign that we're going to see an immediate rebound in air travel. You might see, you know, vehicles returning on the road, but not air travel. I think that's going to be a key indicator out there. At the same time, we're having GDP towards the levels that are going to be significantly below normal for, you know, at least this next few quarters. And again, that's another indicator that we're going to see a lack of demand for oil. Like I said, it all depends on when that U.S. shale, to a certain number becomes viable or not. And if the longer this goes on, where prices are this low, the more difficult it's going to be for the shale producers to just remain in business.
Let's quickly switch across to China. They've been kind of sort of flexing their muscle around Hong Kong. My sense is maybe under the cloak of the pandemic, while our attention is elsewhere. Hong Kong's supposed to have been a 50-year clause for one country, two systems. That was supposed to run until 2040-odd. But China's obviously saying, hang on a sec, we almost essentially want to pull this back, and potentially bringing some significant tension between China and the West, the G7.
Oh, yes, most certainly. And it's not just in Hong Kong. I mean, China has been a bit more muscular elsewhere as well. Apparently, mm-hmm. there was a bit of a border clash between China and India a few days ago. There's a region of that's basically in dispute between the two countries. It has been in dispute, basically since independence of India, and the Chinese current system was in play. We're talking almost half a century or so, maybe more than half a century. So this is an indicator that China might be a bit more muscular on multiple fronts out there. At the same time, I think they are feeling the pushback, at least the reputational pushback, because the virus did originate in China. Mm-hmm. And there is some talk about whether or not the Chinese bear responsibility for delaying spreading the news about it or giving false information at the start. So it's a bit of a balancing act between that. But I do think that looking at it just on an objective basis, the Chinese economy is the best suited to come out of this crisis relatively better than anybody else in the world. From what I've seen across the 2 years, 2020, 2021, we expect average growth for China to be around 5%. Of course, there's going to be a negative 2021. It's going to be so large that we're going to see basically 10% effectively over the 2 years. You're not going to find any other part of the world that comes close. I think India gets about 4% over the 2 years. Much of Western Europe is negative over the 2 years. And even the US is barely break even over 2 years. So China is taking or getting out of the crisis significantly stronger economically relative to other parts of the world.
We'll leave that there. That's Viv Govender, Rand Swiss. Appreciate your time this morning.
MoneyWeb Now on the Money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Alan Solomon. He's a Capital Appreciation's Chief Financial Officer. They had numbers for year-end. March revenue was up just over 15% at just over 700 million. Headline earnings per share up 28%. A dividend increased to 5 cents for the full year. And a fair chunk of cash available. Alan, appreciate your time this morning. I want to kick off with the quote that your chairman, Michael Sachs, started with in your results, where he notes, "In my 50 years of professional and corporate life, the current state of our economy through COVID-19 must rank as the most difficult I have encountered." And I think almost everyone in the corporate space would echo that. That said, in a world lockdown under COVID, your business model is solid, especially payments, and you're actually doing fairly well. To a degree, pandemic and lockdown kind of plays into your terminals, your services businesses.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, thanks very much. I think Morty Sachs' statement amplifies the crisis that not only South Africa but the world is facing at the moment. In my 40 years of being involved with public companies, we've seen downturns and we've seen recessions and we've seen hard times, but this is unprecedented. And I think the fallout and the consequences of COVID-19 are incredibly different from all the previous downturns and recessions and depressions. I think from our point of view, not only are we very pleased with our results, but it proves the importance of where we are positioned as a company, that we're in technology and financial services, and the new normal is starting to emerge. And it was always our key focus to be in those areas of technology and innovation.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen statements out of Microsoft where they've sort of been saying, and they, I think they were talking about their Teams product. They've basically seen 2 to 3 years of progress in that product literally happen in 2 to 3 weeks earlier in the year. I mean, you're in payments, as I understand, providing terminals, and obviously, we've just seen that acceleration. We've seen that move into the online space. The disruption happening is working directly at you. Your payment business, is this very much going to be an annuity sort of income for Capital Appreciation?
Well, there's no question there's a significant piece of our revenue streams in the payment business is annuity driven. And at the moment, for financial year 31 March 2020, about 48% of our total revenue is annuity-style recurring income.
Is this, and these are, I imagine these are some bricks and mortar, but is this also going to be working in the online space? In other words, you know, I might be a bricks and mortar retailer. I've got some online business. I'm using your products as my business has seen this exceptional growth during lockdown.
I think technology moving forward has been on the cards for a long, long time. And you make reference to Microsoft and Amazon and the like. Mm-hmm. And technology has been evolving over the good last 5-10 years. I think the emergence of this pandemic has accelerated the necessity as the mother of invention type concept of we're having to build a lot quicker and a lot more efficiently. And those companies have been positioning themselves over the last 3 to 5 years on innovations and technology and online type activity and working and operating virtually and remotely are going to enjoy the fruits of their wisdom to be in those sectors over the last few years.
You mentioned Amazon, you mentioned remotely, you one of your offerings is cloud space, the work from home, again, playing directly into that. Are you seeing significant increased demand post your March year end for cloud services as we see a lot of people still under level 3 working from home and needing sort of better, more robust cloud facilities?
We're very encouraged by that. So we've been encouraged during the year, pre-COVID-19, and we've now seen post our year-end an upsurge in demand and interest in virtual and online and remote-type functionality. And also you're actually seeing that becoming not only prevalent in the corporate world and the banking and the financial services world, you're seeing it in the domestic world where people are now seeing the importance of working from home and are setting up their infrastructures at home. So you're seeing a lot of development taking place of people upgrading their efficiencies and their operating needs at home.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I've had cloud facilities at home for years, but a couple of my friends in the last few weeks have said, help me set this up, help me make it happen. A quick last question. You mentioned 40 years of business. This is as tough as you've seen it. Your chair says in 50 years of business as tough. You've increased your dividend quite markedly. You're confident that you're in the right space. We've talked around this acceleration happening and you're in exactly the right spot to see this through and manage through the pandemic as a business?
We as a board were very cautious and judicious in reviewing whether one should or should not pay a dividend. We are very fortunate that we are asset-light businesses and accordingly we are strongly cash generative. And I think the patience that our shareholders have shown us over the years, I think they deserve the rewards of a 18% increase in dividend year on year. And we've got sufficient financial resources to continue to not only invest in our current businesses for organic growth, but to continue the search for good quality acquisition bolt-on and other type of businesses that will fit into our culture.
That's a great point. Asset light, those are perhaps the most attractive businesses in this environment. That's Alan Solomon. He's Chief Financial Officer, Capital Appreciation. Appreciate the time this morning.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
I've got Milani Maluka. He's the economist at ABSA. We're talking the ABSA Purchase Managers Index. This is for May 2020. What I love about it is it comes out quickly. It gives us a proper insight. You know, GDP data. We don't even have Q1 for South Africa yet. This comes out proper early. Milani, morning. Thanks for your time. After a low of 5 in April, which was, I mean, when we spoke a month ago, as I said to you, I thought it was a typo. It wasn't. The South African PMI has come back fairly strongly. We're at 43.2, still contracting because it's below 50, reflecting that sort of opening up of the economy. How much of this is perhaps a statistical issue from that massive low of April? If I do even just a little bit extra, you know, my capacity might still only be 10%, but I'm picking up, and that would therefore make the PMI look better under the circumstances.
That's a really good point, Simon, that I think we should not take too much from the magnitude of that business activities at the index here. Because if we remember, outside of essential manufacturing, which would have been food and a few other industries, many other parts of the manufacturing sector would still have been operating at 30% of employment capacity in May. So I think certainly the direction of travel, at least as far as business activity is concerned, was certainly an improvement compared to the month before, where pretty much everything was at a standstill. But I think the magnitude of the bounce in business activity, as we're seeing in the PMI, may actually be more noise than signal this time around.
What we are, however, seeing is and I've, you know, if I look at the European PMIs that came out, again, they're all below 50, but certainly that bounce. The indications are that as things stand right now, and you know, under a pandemic, things change quickly, it certainly does look as if perhaps April was the bottom, but going forward, it is still going to be tough. It's still PMI numbers coming below 50. That is telling us contraction, South Africa and broadly globally.
No, absolutely, because I think the one thing that we need to take into account is that, you know, these lockdown restrictions that we had around the world, you know, caused massive disruptions to global supply chains. And those supply chains are not going to normalize quickly. The demand conditions that a lot of manufacturers will be facing right now would be very different from the demand conditions, you know, that they faced before COVID-19. So I think these are just some of the factors that are probably going to give us a fairly protracted recovery as far as manufacturing activity is concerned. And I think one particular challenge for South Africa as well is that we know that there was a lot of manufacturers that are already, you know, quite under a bit of strain even before the COVID-19 shock arrived. So I think one thing that we will not be able to tell is yet, you know, is how many manufacturers have basically had to, you know, shut their factories for good. But I think we'll get a better sense of that with time.
That's a great point. It was a tough economy coming into lockdown and the pandemic. Last question: the data point I went to straight away was the PMI employment, and that didn't it recovered by 0.2. It remained unchanged for May versus April, and this is deeply telling. Even as we were starting to open up the economy, employment is not following. To your point, probably a lot of businesses perhaps just not coming back or remaining shuttered for this period, but showing a very grim picture for South African unemployment and therefore the broader economy and consumer activity.
Absolutely. And for me, you know, the employment of the index was definitely one of the most worrying, you know, numbers out of this latest survey. You know, it's still well below 30. And it tells you that, you know, in terms of the job story in the short term in the sector, you know, we could still see, you know, layoffs, you know, what sort of magnitude, we don't know, but it's definitely quite worrying, particularly when we also have to start to think about what the recovery may look like. I think a recovery that does not have a lot of people employed generating income could actually be a very, very slow recovery.
Yeah, that's a great point. If we haven't got the, you know, the employment out there coming through and generating salaries, there's no spending happening. It's going to be a slow recovery. And I note the employment index was 39 in March. To the point being is that we came into this pandemic with significant issues as a country from a lack of growth perspective. That's Mialani Maluleke. He's a economist at Absa, talking the Absa Purchases Managers Index for May 2020. That's it for the show today. You'll find us live every weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. at moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app. The podcast available from 7 a.m. from all good podcatchers. And what you'll chat to us on social media, use the hashtag MoneyWebNow, Twitters, Facebooks. My thanks to you for listening. My guests, my producer, Cordora, sound engineer, Eddie. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWebNow. We'll chat again tomorrow morning.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.